And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Dave Mullarkey, nice to have you with us here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Here we are, the noon hour now, so we're halfway through the week already. Wow. Wow. We have guests that will be joining us here on the program today. In fact, our first guest sits right across the table from me at the moment. John Lochner is a Top Corp Energy training individual with Penn State Extension. And John, it's good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We talked last year. What did we talk about when you were here last year?
Natural gas development in Pennsylvania and some of the environmental issues that revolve around it.
Well, maybe we'll touch on that before we run out of time today, but it's a different subject that we want to discuss, and one that I think our listeners will find interesting because there's been quite a bit of misunderstanding about growing hemp. That's H-E-M-P, hemp. Production here in Pennsylvania. But I understand that some Pennsylvania farmers are turning to this as a potential money crop. One of the big misunderstandings, I think, when some people, maybe baby boomers in particular, when they hear hemp, they automatically think of marijuana because that was a term that was used for marijuana, you know, way back when, mm-hmm. 60s and 70s. It's a different animal, right? It's similar but different. Explain that for us, John.
Yeah, it is, and that's part of the stigma that goes with it, Dave, is that when we initially, a couple years ago, started talking about hemp production, there was a misconception that we were talking about what you've described, marijuana, and as my simple explanation is, it's the same plant. It's a little bit like a beef cow and a dairy cow. The dairy cow's bred to produce milk, and the beef cow has been designed and bred through years to produce muscle and meat. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit the same way with hemp and the marijuana plant. Is that it's the same plant. Hemp plant has been bred and designed to produce fiber or seed. And in I always stumble with this, but while marijuana has that psychomatic drug, THC, that we refer to, which is tetrahydrocannabinoid, hemp does not. In fact, hemp has to be tested. If you're growing hemp, it has to be tested, and it has to be below a threshold of THC so that it doesn't have any of those mind-altering drugs in it. And so it's strictly, and that's what I'd like to talk about, because that's what we're growing in Pennsylvania is hemp.
Absolutely. You can't smoke it and get high.
Correct.
It's a different thing. I don't know a whole lot about this. I know a little bit. I think hemp was widely grown during the early days of the American colonies and the early days of the United States, for that matter, because it was used to make rope. Am I correct on that?
You're right on it. So during the 16, when we first started to populate, when European settlers came into North America, they brought hemp, and hemp was initially hemp's home really is in Central Asia, and there are records that go back 2800 BC. Where hemp was used for fiber to make rope. They found how you could make clothing, paper. The Constitution was written on hemp paper.
I didn't know
now,
that.
How about that? It's an interesting little factoid. Wow. So the settlers planted hemp to produce fiber, to produce clothing, to produce paper, and did so through the mid 1800s, and then cotton came onto the scene, and cotton was at the time easier to work with, didn't have some of the same problems as far as processing. So cotton, I think in general, kind of displaced hemp in the mid-1800s, late 1800s, going into the turn of the century, into the 1900s.
And it was eventually outlawed, growing hemp?
Yeah, so somewhere in that late 1930s, 38, 39, federal government passed a law because it was all lumped together as hemp and you know, we're going to call it marijuana. Mm-hmm. Those two varieties of the plant were seen as the same thing, and so they outlawed it. Now, there was some growing of hemp during World War II to produce fiber, so that ropes were made. But again, shortly after World War II, there was no growing of hemp in the U.S. to speak of until the most recent past. Legally, the last couple years.
The outlawing of it contributed, yeah, I'm sure, to the mm-hmm. misunderstandings and the misconceptions that many people have today. Folks, you have to think back to, I think a good example would be the days of the great sailing ships before the invention of the steam engine. Think of how many ropes they needed to run the sails and everything. In fact, they had rope ladders to get up to the crow's nest. It's not like today, when if you go to your neighborhood home store and buy a rope, it's more than likely to be a synthetic material, much stronger than hemp. You can still buy a fiber rope today in some spots, but most of the ones for tree climbing and rock climbing and mountain climbing nowadays, it's synthetic because it's stronger. But before we had synthetic rope, my goodness, there was a tremendous need for rope in a wide variety of applications, and that's where it came from. They grew hemp. You mentioned that I didn't know this, John, that the original habitat for hemp was in Asia, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Central Asia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can obviously, or you could at least, grow it here in the United States, in the colonies, and what became the United States. Now we have a great deal of science in terms of knowing what grows best and where. And that's what we want to talk about today, because that's one of the things that the university does, Penn State Extension. They determine where specific crops grow best and how to make them grow best. So tell me, why rather recently are some farmers looking at growing hemp? There's the possibility that this could be a money producing crop, a cash crop again?
Yes, it is. And Dave, and maybe I'll preface all this by saying, we were talking about when hemp was grown a lot in the U.S., and there were mills, and there was equipment, and they developed a process to process it. So there was an infrastructure,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And over the time that we haven't really been producing hemp for fiber in the U.S., we've lost that infrastructure. So going a step ahead then to talk about actually growing it. So with today's agricultural economy, the commodities, corn, soybeans, milk is seeing a little bit of an increase, but all of our agricultural commodities over the last few years have had rather low prices, and it's been tough in the agricultural community to stay in business, and you really are a good manager for those people that are still farmers and doing their job out there,
mm-hmm.
Which we all are going to be appreciative of. But in the process of that, as business people, agriculturalists, farmers might be looking for a crop that would diversify their operation, perhaps spread out their risk of investment, perhaps be a profit center on their farm. And so with the permitting of hemp production in Pennsylvania the last couple of years, a lot of people have looked at hemp and said, maybe this is something for my farm. Maybe this is something I can grow. Maybe it'll be more profitable than what I've been doing. And so there's been a tremendous amount of interest in hemp production. We have a couple research stations in Pennsylvania, Penn State does, that have grown hemp the last couple of years, have done a lot of research. And those individuals at those research stations get inundated with telephone calls and emails about production in Pennsylvania. And what, well, the first question, unfortunately, often is, I planted it already and I'm having a problem. Mm. And, you know, what we hope is that we can educate folks so that before they plant it, they know what to expect. What are some of the problems? What kind of soil do you need? What kind of fertilization do you need? And be prepared as you go through the season. So what, you know, are there insects that are going to attack my plant? Are there animals that like it? Like deer in Pennsylvania love a cornfield. So that's part of what our research is and why farmers are looking at it as a way to diversify what they're presently doing.
And that's what the university does. Don't forget Penn State started out as an agricultural school when it was granted land grant charter back in 1851, and it still has a huge, it's one of the biggest colleges within Penn State University, the mm-hmm. College of Agriculture. A couple of questions here. First of all, it's not unusual for farmers over a period of years or decades to switch crops. I can remember when I was a kid, and I grew up in a small town out in the country, there were a lot of farms around. It was very rare to see soybeans being grown. You know, mm-hmm. Most of the farms around where I grew up were wheat or corn. Soybeans, no. Today, you see massive fields of soybeans all over western Pennsylvania. So things do change, and I can understand why some farmers, when they hear about hemp, they might want to give it a try. My next question would be, though, what's it used for these days when hemp is harvested? Where does it go?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, I mean, and we'll talk about it. Unfortunately, there are a couple things, and so people really do have to think about what it is they're going to, because generally, I think we could say there are three categories of hemp production. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you might look at fiber, and we'll talk about what that's used for. You might look at it as a grain, and you might look at it as a term, an acronym that we see in front of convenience stores, and you hear on the CBD.
See it everywhere these days.
Right. Yeah. So and that's cannabinoid producing hemp product plants. So you have to decide first which of those three categories you want to specialize in. Because there are different varieties of hemp plants for each of those, and there's different equipment that's involved. And the one that probably is easiest for most people to get into is the fiber, because a lot of farmers would already have the equipment to do that. But you ask directly what some of the uses are. We talked about fiber use. So there is clothing. There is paper. There are all kinds of composite materials that hemp goes into, building materials, and in Pennsylvania we use it for animal bedding as well. So it is a biomass, and so it produces a lot of biomass that can be used for an alternative energy source as well. If we look at the grain, that's used for food products, for oils. So it's a little bit to your example of soybeans. Soybeans we know can be processed and pressed, and the oil's extruded, and it's a high quality oil. You might see it in your kitchen, in different products. So oils are used in various food products as oils for your skin. There are a lot of things that the oils are used for nutritionally as well. And then we go to the CBD type of variety of the plant that's used in food products. And there's a legal status that goes with all of this when we talk about CBDs, because it's not exactly clear. Even though there are lots of foods, and like you said, you can see CBD everywhere, the legal status of that seems to be overlooked at this point, and it's not clear, and I think that it's being overlooked because they're still trying to figure out what regulations there should be. You hear all kinds of claims for CBD oil or CBD products that are probably most of them unsubstantiated. There's not a lot of research yet. And that's part of the growing industry is the research of what good it may be good for you. And there are lots of testimonials. I think it's one of those we just don't know yet. It might work on a muscle ache for you, and it wouldn't for me. And we just have to figure out some of the science that goes with that. And so those are generally the three categories. The most popular one, I think, today are either grain production or fiber production, because those seem to be the infrastructures in place, and we've got equipment to produce those ones.
Interesting stuff. Hemp production here in Pennsylvania. We owe for a break, so let's do that. We'll be back to talk more with John Lochner from Penn State Extension here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back right after these words. Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months. So there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small-diameter or mini-dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini-dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Hemp production as an agricultural product here in Pennsylvania. That's what we're talking about today. And we're pleased to have Penn State Extension educator and agent John Lochner with us here today. Coming in from, you're based in the Lawrence County Extension Office, right?
Yes.
So questions that might pop into people's minds. You talked about the confusion between hemp and marijuana, not the same thing. What does it look like if you're growing agricultural hemp? Does it look like a marijuana plant? Does that add to the confusion?
Boy, that's a great question. And yes, the leaf structure looks most would not be able to tell the difference between a marijuana plant and a hemp plant. They are very similar in leaf and in structure of the tallness or the shortness. And there are different varieties, so some are tall and some are short. And
we had a case here in Butler County within the past couple of years of a couple that were facing charges for growing marijuana, and it was some kind of flower that they were growing, and some police officer thought it was marijuana, and then there was a lawsuit for damages after that, and so on and so forth. So if hemp, agricultural hemp, looks like marijuana, we'd have to be careful about that. By the way, can anybody grow this, or do you need to get a permit or a special okay from Harrisburg or what?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, this is part of the change that's gone through, that the regulation of hemp production has been transferred from the federal government agencies to, in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. And while there isn't a limit to the number of acres of hemp that can be grown in Pennsylvania, you do have to abide by some regulations. And one of those is you apply to the Department of Agriculture in Pennsylvania to obtain a permit, and there's a fee for that. Mm-hmm. And there are some regulations around that. And to your point about not knowing the difference, or you know, it may be confused with something else. Number one, that's the reason that you have to have a lab come and test your hemp before it's processed to be sure that it does not contain those hallucinogenic, THC. But some of the other regulations are that you can't plant it within a distance of a school or of a medical marijuana processing facility or distribution point. There can be some misconception. There are some regulations you have to abide by. You need to get that permit. Plants, and depending again on the whether you choose the grain fiber or the CBD type of variety, the plant you're talking about is planted different, may have different row spacings, may use different equipment to plant it. Some are 2, 3, 4 feet tall. Some varieties are 6, 8, 10 feet tall. Wow. So they can be, if you see a field of it, you probably will recognize it real easily as something completely different than a cornfield or a soybean field.
Like a sunflower, some of that
tall stuff. To that extent, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like a sunflower, big.
Physically, height.
Now we get to the science, and that's where Penn State Extension and the University's College of Agriculture comes in. Is there research that's already out there, or is it still being done as to, you know, what type of hemp would be best in a specific location or for specific farmers?
Yeah, and that's part of the science that's been lost, Dave, over the time that hemp was not grown in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so science has changed a lot. And now Penn State has a research center at State College, Rock Springs, and we have a research station and farm in Lancaster. Both those locations are growing hemp and have been growing hemp the last couple of years. And they're looking at truly research. So they're different plots looking at fertilization, looking at harvesting methods and technologies. So yes, and we hold meetings, and we've held meetings over the last year or two to pass along that research information to folks so that, because I know a couple years ago when hemp was first being produced, there was kind of a myth that you could plant hemp on any marginal soils, marginal being fertilization, organic matter, and those things, that you could take almost a strip mine and plant hemp on it would produce well. And in fact, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Hemp grows fairly well on the same kind of soils that we would expect a good corn crop to grow on. So it's where the fertilization level is pretty high. Hemp doesn't really like a heavy clay soil, and they like fertilization. So it is a plant that has to be as managed at a high level as you do a corn or soybean crop if you want to have a great field of hemp production.
Have you gotten calls from farmers who have tried this and they say, my hemp is not growing. It's not doing well. What am I doing wrong?
Unfortunately, we've had too many of those calls, and those were the first calls we got when we would hope to get those calls before they planted it. So, yes, we've seen, and all of us Penn State educators that have been out on fields have seen some really great fields, and we've seen some fields in the past year that were just a mess. And part of the problem was there weren't herbicides that were approved for hemp production because it's so new. So a lot of hemp production was the management was hand weeding. You can imagine hand weeding a field of whatever it is. But some got away from people, and so there wasn't and insect damage that we're looking at, and animal damage like we have deer in cornfields. So yes, we're doing that kind of research, and we're trying to move that research to our fellow ag producers in the state.
What's the maturation time for this? Corn, for example, farmers plant it in the spring, and depending on what variety of corn you have, you can harvest it in midsummer or late summer. You get one crop, mm-hmm. and then that's it per year. Is it the same with hemp, or does it take 3 or 4 years to come to maturation? Or
Great question, and it is like a corn plant in that it's an annual plant. And in western Pennsylvania, generally it likes to be planted mid-May to late May. You mentioned different varieties of corn, as there are different varieties of hemp. And so we've gotten some cultivars out of Canada that have that are a shorter season. So you might be able to plant them into the first part of June to the middle of June, and then harvest it somewhere around the frost date. So maybe mid-October that we're harvesting hemp.
Would you have to get an FBI clearance if you wanted to plant hemp?
You do have to get an FBI clearance to plant hemp, yes.
Seems like you need clearances for everything these days anyway.
Yes, so, yes. And don't forget your permit from the Department of Ag. Yes.
Have there been many requests for permits here in our area of western Pennsylvania from farmers?
I don't know the number, Dave, but there have been. And we've had a fair number, I'm going to say a fair number of new producers in Butler County this past year. And by virtue of the number of calls that we're getting and the interest, it will have more producers in this year.
Do you have to get a permit every year, or is it good for a while?
You have to get, at this point, it's every year you have to get a permit. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully not an FBI check every year.
Right. No, I think I don't think that's a one and done. And what we hope is that the infrastructure, and that's part of the problem, is we just don't have a lot of infrastructure for the processing of the hemp. And so some people went into the year last year without having knowing where their hemp was going to be sold, and some, unfortunately, were left holding their hemp that they produced, still looking for buyers. So the infrastructure, the processing plants are still developing, and we've got some being developed in western Pennsylvania. So that's another step along the way that we have to fill the gap of before you should plant your hemp. You should know where you're going to sell it and have a contract that you had an attorney look over.
Where do you get hemp seed? You can't just walk into your neighborhood home and garden center and buy it like you buy corn or carrot seed, can you?
You cannot. That's great. And most hemp seed comes out of Canada. Canada has a longer history of growing hemp. They've developed hemp varieties, and it's fairly expensive. But most producers are buying their seed out of Canada, and it's by variety, and they're looking at the category, you know, whether it's fiber or grain or for CBD that you're growing it for, and they select a variety based on that.
I'm amazed at how many agricultural products and flowers come from Canada, because, you know, most people would think, gosh, it's colder up there, you know.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about northern Manitoba or the Northwest Territories. There are parts of Ontario where there are actually incredible abilities to, you know, grow things like peaches and mm-hmm. what we would think of as, you know, Georgia-type crops. There are places in Canada where you've got just the perfect, mainly around the Great Lakes.
Mainly around the temperate Great Lakes, and you're so right that the fields just look like, some of them look just like western Pennsylvania and or bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they've been growing hemp up there for a while, huh?
Their industry in Canada is further developed because they didn't have the same regulations that we did here in the U.S.
Well, I think we've pretty well covered the topic. It's interesting to me. And who knows? We may see in future years quite a number of huge fields of hemp.
Yep. We'll come back later with a report on how much was grown and where it all went and how it's been used in the county here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyone with questions, John, could they direct them to you? Or are you getting too many phone calls already?
We never get too many phone calls. We love phone calls and emails. So the Penn State Extension office here in Butler is a great place to call, and they'll get in touch with one of the agronomists to get the information you need.
John, it's good to see you again.
You too. Thank you.
This is interesting discussion. I enjoyed it a great deal. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
John Lochner, Penn State Extension. Okay, we'll take a break. We've got more to come here on the It's Your Turn program. We'll be talking with Jim Boltz, president of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, coming up here momentarily. So please stick around. We'll be back here on WISR with the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn right after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs. Instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, the only executive-level fitness center in Butler, providing a clean, unintimidating environment with modern equipment and a full-time staff to assist you. A proud partner of the Silver Sneakers and Prime Networks, Applewood offers classes like Silver Sneakers, Pyo, and high-intensity interval training. Open daily, the fitness center has flexible membership options and discounts for students, military, and paid EMS employees. See more at applewoodchiro.com. Must have valid student or military ID or proof of EMS employment for discount.
Welcome back, good friends, and we're going to be talking with a couple of folks from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber on the next segment of It's Your Turn. They join us by telephone. Melissa Reedy is the Director of Business Development and the President of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Jim Bolt joining us as well. Melissa, Jim, nice to have you with us here today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us back.
Jim, are you currently president? Are you just taking the gavel? Have you been president for ages? What's the story on that?
I would say somewhere in between that. I've been the president for 5.5 years, so since 2014.
Well, that would take us probably back pretty close to the formation of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, would it not, Jim?
It would. In fact, before I was the president of the chamber, I actually owned my own small business. I was on the board of directors. And 10 years ago is when we really started the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber as a merger between two chambers in the area, the Cranberry Area Chamber and the Northern Allegheny Chamber.
Well, let's talk about some things here, including the annual meeting of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Has that already taken place, or is that coming up in the near future, Jim?
It's actually coming up on February 13th, and we're really excited about it this year because, as we just stated, we merged our chambers 10 years ago. And when we merged, that made us one of the largest chambers in Pennsylvania. We have 1,000 members. Our footprint spreads all the way from the Knight Road corridor up through Allegheny County into Butler County, the Cranberry corridor, over to Route 8, over to the Beaver County line. So when we merged, it made us one of the larger chambers. Since it's the 10-year anniversary, we're really planning a number of different things this year to celebrate that. And I think one of the big things that we're excited about, if you look back 10 years ago, we still have over 200 members that were members of our organization back when we merged. So we call them founding members, and we are planning a number of different things this year, really to commemorate and thank them for being loyal to us and really being part of our chamber. For the actual annual meeting, we have planned special gifts. We'll have a gift for everyone, but we also will have special gifts for those founding members, anybody that attends that. Our keynote speaker for that day is Susan Houlihan. She is the president of UPMC Pacifin. And then, of course, Jim Roddy, who does a lot of events with us, is going to be the master of ceremonies. And a nice little tie-in, if you go back 10 years, our first annual meeting keynote speaker was Jim Roddy. So it's a nice little tie-in in a couple different directions.
Indeed. Melissa, 1,000 members in the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, one of the biggest in the state. That is huge. I mean, I would guess Pittsburgh and Philadelphia would be larger, but probably that's about it, huh?
Yeah, we were the largest in the area, which is, I think, just a testament about all the growth that's happening in our area, the North Pittsburgh area. A lot of new businesses are coming to the area, and they see the potential for a lot of great opportunities here.
What's the geographic footprint for your chamber? Obviously, it extends into southern Butler County, right?
Yeah, so three different counties. So it's Butler County, North Allegheny, and the Beaver County as well. So that makes up about 14 different municipalities within those counties that we serve. So we do have a very large footprint, but we try and serve that very well with how we represent through different events and programming and such.
Seems like every time I drive through Cranberry or drive along 228 coming from Mars into Cranberry, I see two or three new businesses. That'll keep you busy recruiting those folks, Melissa.
It does keep us busy, absolutely.
Can people join the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber at any time during the year or only at one specific time?
Sure. So what we really enjoy about our chamber is that we allow businesses to join at any time. So it's not a recruitment period. Some have it that they only will allow joining at the beginning of the year. One of the benefits of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber is to say you come to the area in June and you want to get plugged in, you're able to do so and join whenever you're available.
Jim Boltz is president of the chamber. Annual meeting coming up on February 13th. Obviously, that's just under a month away. Where will the meeting be held, Jim?
It will be at the Chadwick, and that is in Wexford. And the other tie-in, you know, I talked about our meeting 10 years ago. Our initial meeting was also at the Chadwick. So there's, you know, there's going to be this retro feel to it that, you know, back to 10 years ago.
You have to help me out on the Chadwick in Wexford. Is that a restaurant or a hotel? What is that, Jim?
It's a convention center type meeting place that is. There is a restaurant beside it, but it's a special meeting. It has special meeting rooms. They have a lot of weddings, a lot of big events there.
Mm-hmm. So events and receptions and that sort of thing.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the 10-year anniversary of the merger. What were the individual chambers, again, that merged to form Pittsburgh North Regional?
The Cranberry Area Chamber and the Northern Allegheny Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still have our main offices right now are in Wexford, which was the original office of the Northern Allegheny Chamber. But we still do keep our second location in the Cranberry Municipal Building.
You mentioned that you had a small business back at the time of the merger. What was the business, Jim?
It was a printing business. It was a printing business in Cranberry. It was Minuteman Press.
Do you still have that?
I do not. I do not. So when I came over to the chamber and started working here, I then sold that business. And it's still up and running and doing very well in the Cranberry area in the same location that I had it.
Was it difficult to convince members to approve this merger 10 years ago?
It was, Dave. I mean, it was quite a challenge. We really met for over 6 months. Every single week, there was a group from the Cranberry Chamber and a group from the Northern Allegheny Chamber, and we would meet and really did a lot of research, a lot of discussion. You know, everybody was territorial at the time. Everybody wanted to protect their own territory, so that was probably the biggest thing to overcome. But what we did is we found other chambers that merged in the state, and we actually brought people in from those chambers to talk to us about what the benefits were and really how it helped them and how they overcame any obstacles or if it was, you know, a bad idea, we wanted to know then. And doing all the research in that, we really came through the transition, I think, pretty well. We came when we merged, We were very unified, and it just gave us so much more power in being able to connect our members and doing more in the community for the business community.
The concept of being territorial is certainly not unique to chambers of commerce. I mean, we see this whether, we're talking about potential merger of school districts or municipalities or police departments or, I remember a couple of years ago, the U.S. Postal Service was talking about merging post offices, and people, got up in arms. They like to maintain the identity of their own town or municipality or region, so that's understandable. But I think you made the wise move to merge those two chambers 10 years ago. We need to take a quick break. More to talk about, though, with Jim Boltz and Melissa Reedy here on It's Your Turn on WISR. So let's pause momentarily. We'll be back with our guests in just a couple of minutes. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
The annual meeting of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber is coming up next month. As Jim Boltz told us before the break, Jim Roddy will be the MC for the event. Jim has been a guest here on this program several times over the past couple of years. What a nice guy. How personable, huh?
He is. And, he's done so many different things. He has so much experience and so many great stories to share. And so many great contacts, too. Everybody knows him and loves him. We're excited to have him working with us again this year.
And his background would be so helpful. After all, former executive of Allegheny County. I think he was the immediate predecessor of Rich Fitzgerald, right? Yeah, I think.
He was actually the first one. So, when you talk to him, he'll make sure you know that, too. he was the first one, and then it was Dan Honorando, second one, and then now Rich Fitzgerald, yes.
I forgot about Honorando. And for folks who wonder what we're talking about, because here in Butler County, in fact, in almost all counties in Pennsylvania, there's a county commissioner system. In Butler County, we have three county commissioners. Allegheny County used to be that way, too. But then they passed a home rule charter that changed their structure. In Allegheny County, they now have a county council along with an executive instead of three commissioners. And as Jim said, Jim Roddy was the very first one. Jim Boltz is president of Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. How long are you going to hold that seat, Jim?
As long as they let me, I guess.
Will there be elections at the annual meeting? Is your seat up for grabs?
It is not. I'm part of staff, so I'm actually I am not up for election. Our board has elections every single year, and seven seats are up for election every year, but I'm not part of that. Yeah, and one thing I do want to mention, Dave, that I didn't at our annual meeting, we give awards out every single year for five different categories, and we also have announced the award winners that night at our annual meeting. So we have five awards that we'll be handing out that night.
Awards such as what, Jim?
Most Distinguished Business Award, Young Professional Award, Women's Entrepreneur Award, Volunteer award and prestigious business.
Very good. How are people or businesses nominated for these honors?
So we ask for nominations from our members, and that just closed at the end of last week. We've gotten 61 nominations for those five awards. From that, then, we pare it down to 25, five in each category, and then send it out to the members again for their vote to determine the winner.
Mm-hmm. And I'm talking with Jim Boltz and Melissa Reedy here from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. You mentioned seven seats on the board are up for election this year. How many members of the board altogether, Jim?
21.
So it'll be a one-third turnover then.
So every year we have, right. There are some, so you can run for two terms. So we do have some, and the elections are already over, so everybody who has been elected for this year already knows who it is. We have three returning board members and then four new people to the board.
I want to talk with Melissa for a couple of minutes here about some of the events sponsored by the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber that have taken place recently. One of them would be, Melissa, your holiday Giving Tree celebration. How did that go?
It went very well, Dave. We are so excited that the community shows us continually great support in raising donations for this event. So what we do every year is we place tags in local areas of business. Based on, we partner with seven different nonprofits to see what that needs, those needs are in the community. They write them down on the tags for us, and we're able to kind of be that intermediate between local nonprofits in need during the holiday season and loving and very graceful community members who are able to meet those needs. So we were able to give over 500 gifts to local nonprofits this year. Thanks to the support of our community and our chamber members as well. So we just want to say thank you for that.
You also had a holiday social. I don't know about you guys. I'm always up for a party myself.
Yeah, it was a great time. We actually sold out. It was a full house for our holiday social. We had it in Cranberry this year. It was a great event. We were able to give off a lot of raffle prizes and silent auction items, as well as being able to all get together as a membership and really celebrate 2019, the successes, and look forward to what we can do better in 2020. It was a great time to just hang out with everybody. We also had, that event was at Noah's Event Center, which is in Cranberry, which is really close to the Westinghouse location, if anyone knows what that is.
Oh, yes, big complex. Mm-hmm. Melissa, could you talk about some of the, and there are many, free services that come with a membership to the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Could you outline some of those?
Sure. There's a lot of great benefits that come with being a chamber member at the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Some of those include that we do a lot of opportunities to network. We have four different connections or networking meetings every single week that our members can attend and to gain referrals, leads, recommendations, and also sign up to be a presenter as well. So if they are maybe new to the area or they have a new service or an educational offering that they want people to be aware of, maybe something's changing in the industry, that's a great opportunity for them. For free, as a member, to sign up for a speaking opportunity to be able to let our membership know about that change or upgraded product or service. So that's a great opportunity. We also do have affinity programs as well. So that's a great opportunity for our members to get some discount programs that's exclusive to chamber members that can include things like chamber choice healthcare. So maybe their employer does not allow or has a plan that maybe doesn't work best for them. They can get health insurance through the chamber. There's also business insurance, office supplies, and a slew of other different affinity programs that are all great and tailored towards businesses in our area so that they can get the most benefit as a small business owner.
We need to take a final break here, so let's do that. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Jim Boltz and Melissa Reedy here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. Back right after these messages.
Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Jim Boltz and Melissa Reedy with us from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. You have a business after hours event coming up shortly, Melissa. I can't believe we're halfway through January already. Holy moly.
Yeah, that is really flown.
When is your business after hours event?
So that is going to be on January 30th. It's at the Cranberry Sports Grill from 5 to 7 o'clock. For those of you who maybe aren't familiar with what a business after hours is, it's an open network. You can sign up, register online, or you can sign up at the door. And it's an opportunity to really meet other business professionals and not as structured of an environment. So it allows you to meet new people, get to know them in that way. We always are welcoming of guests. So even if you aren't a chamber member, and you want to come and check out a business after hours, you are more than welcome to attend those events, get to know some local people, and see if those are great events for you to mix and mingle as well.
Any charge to attend that, Melissa?
So for our chamber members, it's $10 to get in. That includes appetizers. If you are a guest and are not a chamber member yet, it's $20 for the event.
And once again, that's coming up on January 30th, and that's really... That's one of the great benefits of being a member of the Chamber, the ability to network with other businesses in the region.
Absolutely.
Also, you have a member benefits orientation coming up. That'll be next month. Talk about that, Melissa.
Sure. So for those who are exploring the Chamber or maybe would like a refresher of all the different offerings that the Chamber has, with a membership of over 1,000 businesses, there's a lot of different services and programs that we have that it's so hard to make sure that everyone knows every single time when they join or when they're exploring the different organizations to join. So member benefits orientation is on February 19th, which is a Wednesday. It starts at 1 p.m. It's at our Wexford headquarters here off Route 19. It's an opportunity for business owners or business professionals to get to know just in a very concise way all the different products and services that the Chamber offers, especially when it comes to discount programs, different events that they can be involved in, committees that they can be participating in to get their name out there in the community. So it's a great opportunity to do that.
Jim Boltz is president of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Melissa Reedy, director of business development for the Chamber. Thanks, folks, for spending some time with us here today. It was good to talk to the both of you.
The same, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. So long now. Bye-bye. Nice to chat with those folks once again from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Wanted to give you a couple of program notes here, things coming up on WISR Radio. First of all, the Pittsburgh Penguins are just absolutely red hot right now, the hottest team in hockey. They won again last night. Maybe you heard the game here on WISR. Mike Lang calling the action from PPG Paints Arena as the Penguins defeated the Minnesota Wild 7-3, and it marked the return of Sidney Crosby. Did you realize he had been out for more than 2 months? I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew he had core muscle surgery, but yeah, more than 2 months. Doesn't seem to have slowed him down any. Sidney had 4 points last night, 1 goal, 3 assists, so Hopefully he'll help the Penguins even more. They are really going great guns right now. And we'll have Penguin hockey again coming up out tomorrow night, right? Yeah, tomorrow night they're up in Beantown to take on the Boston Bruins. The Penguins have had, the last couple of years, several of these back-to-back road games. That's tough. That's tough because, well, you know, they'll be flying to Boston to play the Bruins tomorrow night. Then the very next night, Friday night, they play in Detroit. So back-to-back road games, tough. That's what they've got. We'll have those games for you here on WISR tomorrow night and then again on Friday. Pittsburgh Penguin hockey. Very proud to be a part of the Penguin Radio Network once again. Let's tell you a little bit about some of the things that are upcoming here on the It's Your Turn program. We are finalizing plans for next week when the Pittsburgh Pirate Caravan comes to Butler, and we're going to be doing a live broadcast. That'll be Friday of next week. That's the 23rd already. But we'll have more details on that. We're getting things put together right now in terms of who we're going to be chatting with and so on and so forth. But yeah, it's time for the Pirate Caravan already, as the Pirates in just a few weeks will be heading down to spring training, down to Brayton. They'll be packing up the equipment truck at PNC Park and heading down the highway to Bradenton, Florida. So stay tuned for that. In fact, today we're wrapping up one of the guests we're going to be chatting with Friday of next week on our special live remote broadcast with the Pittsburgh Pirate Caravan. Now, that's next week. Later on this week, we're going to be talking about organ donation. Are you an organ donor? Do you know how to become an organ donor? You can sign up for that when you get your driver's license renewed. There are other ways, too, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow, actually, with Colleen Sullivan from CORE, Organ Replacement. And then we certainly look forward to Friday when we have a chance to visit once again with Kristen Hobbs. She has visited with us for the past several years now. Kristen is a young woman from the Butler area, native of Butler, went to Butler High School, but she has lived and worked in Europe for some years now. In fact, she works for a prestigious museum in central London. She's able to come back to visit with her family. She usually comes back this time of year, right around or right after the holidays, visit with her folks. And she will be back in town and will visit with us day after tomorrow, on Friday. She'll be here on the program. I have a lot of things I want to talk about with Kristen, including the bombshell announcement last week involving Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I guess she's not Meghan Markle anymore. Meghan, the Duchess of whatever. Made a lot of headlines here and other parts of the world. I wonder what it was like in London, in Britain, when this news came out. That's certainly one of the things I want to talk with Kristen about when she visits with us on Friday. It's always fun to talk with her anyway. Young woman from Butler who's made a very successful, extremely successful career as a designer for a museum in London. So she'll be with us here in the studio on Friday. And we thank our earlier guest today, John Lochner from Penn State Extension, visiting with us, talking about hemp. Hemp production as an agricultural product here in Pennsylvania. Very interesting earlier on the program today. Okay, that'll wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. I'm Dave Malarkey. Hope you can be with us tomorrow for the Thursday edition, starting at 12:30 every weekday here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.